It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Bill W. making an announcement over the speakers right now. A lot going on right now here at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Austin O'Neill back there running the show for us at Racing Boys HQ. Kirk Elliott sitting in the studio as well. A big night of racing last night here at Knoxville Raceway. Jacob Allen picks up the win, beats Brad Sweet, Carson Macedo to the line in their 25-lap A-main last night. And it was a pretty exciting race, I must say. Austin, what did you think of that race last night?
I agree with it being really exciting. I didn't know, you know, within the last five laps, I didn't know if Jacob could hold on and win it, or if Brad, or if Macedo, you know, back in third could come in there and spoil it. But, you know, from the night before, I feel like the track made improvements. The track crew made improvements to the track and got a little bit better. And, you know, the racing, you know, later on in the night was pretty good.
Yeah. Did you think Brad Sweet was going to run him down there at the end of the race? Here's what I saw. On the last couple laps, there was one lap car, and I can't remember who it was, but he kind of got in the way of Brad Sweet, and that kind of held him up. And that really, I think, cost him the chance to win the race. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think a couple things, you know, at the back half of the race, you know, affected Brad that way. You know, lap traffic was a big factor in that. But, you know, Brad kind of said it in his interview. His car was good, but it just really wasn't good enough to get by Jacob. And honestly, I think, you know, Brad could have won that race when he passed him the first time. You know, right. Brad made a decision, which, you know, there's two choices there. Stick the bottom and hope he doesn't momentum around you on the top, or slide him and break his momentum and just chop him back into one. Well, he decided to slide him and break his momentum, and it wasn't really the time and the place to do that. But, you know, you had to make a choice. So, you know, I definitely
Did he make his move too early, Austin, do you think?
No, I don't. I think his move was good. He just didn't know how good the track was on the bottom. I think if he would have known that it was as good as it was down there, and he could have stuck it and you know, kept his momentum up and got by Jacob, he would have done that. But I don't think at that point you're trying to chase him down, and you don't know what the guys, you know, kind of behind you are finding and doing, and it's just, you know, a result of being up in the front.
Yeah. I think maybe the person that people were watching the most come through the field last night was Kyle Larson. He started 22nd. He ended up running 5th. A lot of people were thinking that he was going to make it up to the front. I never felt like he was going to get up there and challenge for the win. Did you?
Not if they had a yellow. You know, yeah. if they had a yellow with a handful to go, maybe. I think he could have, you know, got there. But, you know, he passed. He did a good job at getting by a big group of cars in the first 5 laps. You know, 5 laps in, he passed 12 cars and was up into the top 10. So, you know, you got through those cars that, you know, were good cars, but, you know, Larson is a lot better. And it's not a surprise that he got by him that fast. So, you know, he got up to the top 10, and where a lot of good cars were, and it just wasn't. Plus, they're spread out at that point too. So it was a little harder to get by, you know, the top 10 cars and up to the top 5. So, you know, I think if he had a yellow, he could have maybe had a run at it. But, you know, the top 3 right there were really fast and really tough. So it would have been a very interesting, you know, race if he would have got to them.
Yeah. You know, another guy that didn't do too bad last night, and I got to say this about Casey Kane. You know, in recent weeks, it seems like the light bulb has come on a little bit more for him as a sprint car driver. Would you agree with that? It seems like he's been a little more competitive than he has been when he first got back in the sprint car. Not so much, but it seems like right now that he's pretty competitive. What would you say about that?
I have to agree.
Fairly competitive.
Yes, he's shown some improvement, and this year has been a tough year for him. He got hurt at Volusia. And then he had, I think, another wreck, you know, later on in the year. that kind of got, it was Eldora. Eldora kind of hurt him again. So, you know, he's been overcome two injuries this year, and it's just, you know, he's been there, but he hasn't been able to put the laps in, and to kind of come out to last night where he really hasn't been at Knoxville a lot here in the past, you know, a couple of years, and you know, have a good night like that was really surprising. And I mean, look, he's locked into the first, you know, handful of rows of a B main. So I definitely, you know, looking at this week, definitely did not expect to put him in the first couple rows, but you know, he just, you know, put it all together.
You know, to me, another guy that we have to look at, it's got a lot of speed in his car. He started 21st last night. He ended up running 12th. I mean, this is a big gain for Darren Pittman. He started again 21st, made it up to 12th, showing a little speed in that car as well.
Yeah, I was, you know, Pittman was kind of, you know, he was good early on in the night. You know, he had a good qualifying run, then he had a good heat race, and decent heat race, and, you know, they put him in the B, and he, you know, came up to the field, and it locked him in the first, you know, let's see where he starts on Saturday. He starts 8th, so kind of surprising, you know, for only racing 11 times this year, and putting yourself in that position is, you know, really good, and it just shows, you know, how good Pittman is, and the team that he's driving for, they really don't, they're a Pennsylvania car, so they don't have, besides Pittman himself, I'm not sure how many laps and how much experience they have at Knoxville. So, you know, for them to have that accomplishment is pretty good in my opinion.
He qualified 3rd last night. That was a decent qualifying.
That's the only thing that saved him from his. Let me see where he finished in his heat race. He finished 6th in the 3rd heat race.
So that could put him behind the 8 ball a little bit. You know,
that's why he was in the B.
Let me ask you, Austin. This has been a big topic up here. Do you think winning your heat race should pay the same amount of points as being fast qualifier? What do you think there? I mean, what do you think in the point structure? Do you think that we need to do something a little bit different?
I saw a handful of posts like that on social media last night after the races, and people just confused on why you see Logan Schuchart, you know, win as his prelim night and not, you know, not be, you know, locked into the feature on Saturday. And then see guys that go quick time, let's say like a Parker Price Miller that go quick time and have to run a B and barely make the show. And, you know, fortunately Parker's locked into the A, but, you know, and you've heard it, I've heard it more this week than I've had ever have of the format and the issues with it. You know, I think if you can leave the 8 car invert in it and leave it for the challenge at that, because we never see that. That's the only race of the year I believe we have an 8 car invert. And I mean, all you really need to do is just swap the qualifying and the heat race points around. You know, qualifying is very important, and I like qualifying, but I don't think qualifying, you know, should really determine your night as much as it does. You know, you look at the track they've given them and look at the guys that go quick time and look when they go out. They go out early, and the track backs up and falls off really fast, you know, throughout the rest of the field. And that's just kind of the nature of the game sometimes. But, you know, don't make it as, you know, as important as it should be, you know, as it really is right now. Maybe you just, you know, take the qualifying points, put them towards the heat race, and then, you know, give the heat race points to qualifying.
Yeah, Caleb brings up a good point. Do you think people are talking about it more because of the track conditions we had on Wednesday night? You think that's why people are talking about it a little bit more?
You know, you look at the track, you know, conditions in years past, and you can see guys, you know, go from, you know, 8th to locking it in the show, or, you know, or winning their heat race. And you can see guys from the 4th row actually have a shot at getting to the front. And I think, you know, Wednesday night was the reason why we're hearing about it more. You know, look at who didn't make the show. We had 17 of the top 20 in qualifying in a B main. So, yeah, I definitely think, you know, Wednesday night and the way the track has been, you know, both nights is what started the conversation and the complaining about the format.
Oh, Dave Tyson, he's chiming in. He said Austin and I had a real solid but short list of potential winners for last night, but we left off Jacob Allen.
I did. I didn't even highlight his name. I didn't think, you know, right. Jacob's been fast. You know, he won at Cedar Lake, and you know, he had some, he won at Lincoln this year, and I think he had a couple other wins that I'm forgetting. But, you know, I didn't really think that, you know, he would be able to pull it off, and it surprised me, really.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look here real quick at some of the guys that are locked in. Starting on the pole for tonight's A main is going to be Austin McCarl. He's the high point getter so far. Now, are you a little set back? Because, you know, yesterday we talked about somebody getting closer to the perfect score of 500. Austin McCarl only picked up 477 points last night. Tyler Courtney, 473. Then we fall right back into the guys that were at the top of the sheet yesterday. David Gravel, Carson Macedo, Kyle Larson. Were you a little surprised that the number wasn't a little bit higher last night, closer to 500?
No, not one bit. I would have hoped it to be closer to 500, but after looking at the track that we had, you know, still early on, no, I'm not surprised one bit. I just, you know, they had a better track than Wednesday, but it still wasn't good enough to get the guys that qualified good to the front and in a spot that they were able to lock in. You know, Larson came from the fourth row to the B main to the A and had a hard charge, you know, he passed like 22 cars, I think it was.
Yeah,
and
something like that.
You know, he's only sixth with 462. And the average cutoff was like 453 points in the past 5 years. And
oh, really?
Yeah, now Aaron Reitzel is 16th, the last car to make it in at 447. So we're a little under the average, but, you know, that's the track that was – that's due to the track being narrow and not letting anybody really pass.
But with that being said, Buddy Kofoid, who's 14th right now, he's going to start 14th tonight. He's got 453 points. So there's only two guys that fell underneath that average of 453 points.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I was thinking about this on my way in this morning and how much that it's frustrating seeing a track, you know, narrow in the heat races and not letting the guys, you know, get to the front. I kind of enjoyed it a little bit seeing, you know, somebody you wouldn't normally see lock into the feature or the B main on Saturday, like, you know, a Tasker Phillips, a J.J. Hickel, you know, seeing those two regulars at Knoxville. Who you maybe would have thought would be in a B or a C, you know, lock in. I thought that was really cool. But, you know, I think, you know, having a situation like this and having the points low is good every once in a while. I don't know if it needs to happen every year.
All right, let's bring in Kirk Elliott. I know he's in the studio right now. Kirk, I know you were up late last night getting home. I know you didn't get to bed till about 4:30 this morning. What did you think of that race last night, Kirk?
Much better than Wednesday night, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about that. I think we all agree on that. So, I mean, the track widened out much better. We had more guys transfer out of the heat races than we did on Wednesday night. So, and the feature race was really exciting when you see those top three guys running nose to tail there and battle for the lead. That was, I thought it was a great feature event last night with Jacob Allen winning and Brad Sweet and Carson Macedo right in tow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Walker's chiming in. I want to give him a shout out. Thanks for tuning into the show there, Walker. He says there is a reason it is the granddaddy of them all. The format is part of what makes the Nationals great. The fastest qualifiers need to stay fast all night, elbows up, got to be going forward. Can we take a minute to applaud the drivers for not having a red through the first two nights? Hey, man, there is something to be said about that, right?
How about that? Two nights of the Nationals and no red flag, nobody upside down yet? Unbelievable.
Yeah. I think we've only had a handful of yellows, maybe two or three.
Yeah.
In the past two nights. So, yeah, even that, that's, you know, that's, I would have assumed we would have had what we saw. Maybe we might see, you know, a red or, you know, something like that on Saturday during the, you know, right, maybe B, C, or D. But, you know, so far, I'm like, unlike you two, I'm surprised that we haven't seen something like that yet.
And now we're talking about it, the Hard Knocks race tonight, and we'll see a lot of guys get upside down. That's the way that usually works. You talk about
Kirk, don't say that. We don't want to see anybody get upside down.
Let's
we don't want to
not.
See anybody. We don't want to see.
Well, you know, that's part of sprint car racing, though. You just don't want anybody to get hurt.
All right. Well, Kirk Elliott had a chance to talk to Jacob Allen last night right after the feature. And this is that conversation that Kirk had with Jacob Allen, last night's winner here at Knoxville Raceway.
It's pretty big, pretty special night for me. I love just soaking it all in, and what an experience for sure.
When Brad got around you there, what were you thinking?
Well, shit, that's about it, you know. Just hopefully I get back by him, and I was able to, and then to go back into one and leave turn two and still have him behind me was pretty big. But I knew we had to be getting pretty close with laps. I knew it had to be getting close into the race. So I was just trying to do my best of hit my marks, try to think where Brad might be trying to run, and if those lines would be better than the pace I was running, if I was running high or low or whatever. So I have no idea. It was a lot. It's a lot to soak in. It's very special, and I'm very thankful and blessed.
We saw your dad win an exciting race here one time too. He won the big one. What are your thoughts about him winning and maybe you doing the same?
Yeah, obviously I'm really proud of my dad. I understand how my dad operates a race team and where we come from, and it's just an average race shop, and my dad's just an average guy who really loves to race and do everything he can to be able to race. So that's what he's done for me and our team, and to put his replica 1A of when he won the Nationals back in victory lane here is just like so amazing. Obviously you want to do that for the big event Saturday, but tonight is tonight, and that's what I'm going to worry about, and to do that is just really special. I that will hold a spot with me probably forever.
How do you get ready for Saturday night?
Well, I'll just do all the same stuff I do, you know, every week. That, you know, I prepare on the road all year long, and I think I have a great mindset when it comes to preparing my race cars and being precise on what I like and thinking it all through. And you know, that all goes back to talking with your guys on your race team, my dad Logan as well. So I feel pretty good about it. I'll just maintenance everything the same way with my guys and get the tires right, and just kind of keep up on the track, and it shouldn't be too much different than tonight. I don't believe.
Big week for Shark Racing, backing up that win with Logan Schuart on Wednesday and Jacob Allen on Thursday night.
All right. Well, Kirk also had a chance to get a little sound from Brad Sweet, who ran second last night. This is that conversation with Kirk Elliott and Brad Sweet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not horribly mad. I don't, you know, I think if my car was working better, I think I would have been able to make the pass and you know, hold on to it. It gets tough in lap traffic. It's easy to lose 3 seconds here, and it's not easy to gain it, but you know, it only takes a couple straightaways or a couple lap cars kind of changing you off your line. So I thought Jake did a good job. I think his car was working good in some spots, and he did a good job making it more difficult for me, changing his lines up, and especially when he would enter the bottom of three, it was hard for me to, you know, make any sort of run on him off the top. So he did a good job. My car was pretty good. Obviously it was up and down night, you know, not qualifying good, but getting through the heat just kind of feels like a weird Nationals with the points the way they are. So I think we're locked in the A, not in the best spot, but you know, it's 50 laps, and we'll keep working on our Knapp Auto Parts car for sure.
All right. Also last night, finishing third last night was Carson Macedo. He started sixth. Nice run by him. Kirk had a chance to talk to him as well. This is that conversation with Kirk Elliott and Carson Macedo.
I mean, they were battling really hard. I actually thought that I might have an opportunity there. I, you know, when I got to third, I was a pretty long way back, and I was able to, you know, reel in the lead duo there. And I felt like my car was pretty solid in certain spots. Like, I can run the top really well, but I couldn't really, you know, run the bottom quite like I wanted to, or sweep through the middle, or, you know, do some of the things I felt like you really needed to do there to drive by both of them. Jake was switching his lines up quite a bit, so I was having a hard time judging where he was going to go. I knew Brad was going to do the opposite, and then I was just trying to go the opposite from there. So I feel like my, you know, all ball 41 car is really good. I feel like Phillip is, you know, will probably do what he does best and get better and better. But ultimately, I think, you know, they told me that I start fifth or that we're fifth in points. So I'm fairly happy with that. I feel like, you know, like Brad said, 50 long laps, it's a long race. And if we can execute and get our car good, I think that you can definitely win it from there. So, you know, we're pretty happy, but we definitely can improve.
All right, there you have it, Carson Macedo, who ended up on the podium last night. We are live from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. I want to remind everybody they got a great track tribute going on right now up here for Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. It's a beautiful, beautiful tribute, and they've got a lot of cars. They've got videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia. They've got all kinds of things on display right now. And this display for this track tribute to Ascot Park is going to be going on through October 1st. So if you want to be a part of it, come up and check it out. If you're coming to Knoxville, you got to come to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check out the great track tribute. And while you're there, you need to buy a raffle ticket for the 2022 XXX 410 Sprint Car that they're going to be giving away. They're going to give that away on December 16th. And if you can't make it to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and purchase your ticket in person and check out the great track tribute to Ascot Park that's going on right now, again, through October 1st, you can always buy your Sprint Car Raffle ticket at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. They've also got the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette that they will be giving away this Saturday, August 13th, right here. This Corvette, folks, is very special. It's only one of 1,000 of these cars that were made. This is a real race car. I saw one in the paper for sale for $150,000. One just sold at the Barrett-Jackson auction for $300,000. Kirk and I bought 200 tickets. We're going all in trying to get this Corvette. So you need to do it as well. If you can't make it to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in person, you can always do it online at Corvette, the letter C, the number 8, the letter R, contest.com. That's Corvette, C8R, contest.com. And if there was anything I'd want to win, it would be that Corvette, for sure. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to switch it up just a little bit for one segment. We're going to have Joe Costello from WFOradio.com. He's going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on up at Heartland Park Topeka this weekend. The NHRA Nationals are coming up there. We're going to talk to Joe Costello next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery, We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor. Austin O'Neill back in the Racing Boys HQ running the show. Kirk Elliott hanging out with us as well. And joining us now on the show, folks, if you are a big NHRA fan, there's only one show that you've got to listen to, and that's WFOradio.com. Joe Costello joins us now on the show. Joe, how you doing?
I'm great. How about you guys?
Hey, we're great, man. You guys are coming to Heart of America. It's a big weekend out at Heartland Park, Topeka. Give us a little bit of a breakdown of what we're going to see this weekend.
The breakdown is that everybody that can hear me should come out and have fun with us. I am right in the pits as of this second. I'm in the Sportsman pits. I'm surrounded by classic muscle cars, 69 Novas, Camaros, there's dragsters, competition eliminator cars, top alcohol funny cars. I'm just surrounded by hundreds of amazing race cars. And then later on tonight, of course, the pros and the Camping World Series, top fuel funny car, pro stock. And for the first time since, get this, 1997, pro stock motorcycle is going to be on track. And so I'm super excited. We'll be here, obviously, today, tomorrow, and Sunday is final eliminations. But, Scott, it's awesome, and I always love coming here. Kind of an unusual track layout because of the road course.
Right.
But so many cars, I'm like, I'm in heaven.
Yeah. You know, Joe, me personally, I think I'm the biggest fan of the pro mods. I just love pro mods, man, for some reason. It just seems like they're very hard to handle.
It's a fact. Pro mods, a lot of people love pro mod. I love pro mod. They remind me of the Hot Wheels cars I used to play with as a kid. You know, these giant exaggerated engines, injectors that are above the roof of the car. They're ludicrous speed. You know, they run 5.7, 5.6 second quarter miles at over 250 miles an hour. It's absolute insanity. And ProMod hasn't been out on the tour with us for a while, but now they return here at Heartland Motorsports Park, so it's going to be interesting. The story in ProMod, though, that has got me interested is a guy named Christopher Thorne. Chris Thorne has won the lion's share of the races. He's really dominated the season. And if he could come out here and win this one, you know, it's not over by any means, but he has just demonstrated dominance over the field here in 2022.
Right. You know, I think the big story last year coming out of Heartland Park Topeka was that John Force and Brittany both won at Heartland Park Topeka last year. How often does that happen? You're more in tune with that than I am. So can you give us a breakdown? How often does that happen when John Force and his daughter win?
Well, rare. Like, well, that might have been the first. They had been wanting to double for a long time. All right, so for your listeners out there, to win a race at all ever is astronomically against the odds. It's just incredible. And even if you're John Force, you know, the guy's got 155 wins, but you compare that to the amount of entries that he's had, it's really hard to win races. And then to win a race on the same day that your family member does, it's just against the odds. And to do it at the professional level for John and Brittany, they were super happy. I remember being in the media center afterwards, and, you know, John, prideful dad. Brittany, you know, her dad is, like, embarrassing her with his comments. It was really fun. But everybody that was here last year got to see something special and rare.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What does it mean to have Tony Schumacher back in drag racing?
Wow. You know, last name ever, first name greatest in Top Fuel, right? Like, the guy has got 86 wins, got 8 championships, has won the U.S. Nationals more than anyone. He's got that great, you know, legacy connection to the Army. They're not his sponsor anymore, but for 20 years, he was out there helping and motivating and recruiting. And how many lives did Tony Schumacher connect with during that period, right? And all of a sudden, he's not in the sport. And that's what's weird about drag racing, because of sponsorship. You know, Derek Jeter didn't leave the Yankees for 2 years and then come back because he got sponsorship. That's not how that stuff works. In drag racing, you've got to have funding, or it doesn't matter who you are, unless you're personally wealthy. And even then, I mean, this is very expensive stuff. And so Tony had to sit out a couple of years, came back, won race, won it, amazing stuff down there in Houston a couple of years back during the pandemic year. But I see it as an announcer and as a podcast host, and I see his fans are engaged. Whereas the past couple of years, like, someone who was a Tony Schumacher fan, they might come to the track, and they're not engaged. Their guy is not here. Now he's back, and he won the most recent race, as you know, out there in Seattle, which was a great win with his new ownership group with Joe and Kathy Maynard, which, speaking of new energy, so excited for those two, because they love drag racing so much. And now they bought a team. They bought Tony Schumacher's team, along with Don. Don is still involved. But we got new energy. Tony is just – he's been such a part of our sport for so long. To have him back, you can't quantify it.
You know, we've been very lucky. Tony has came to our studio, and he's just a real personable guy, man. I really like the individual – Tony Schumacher. He's just a cool cat, man, in my eyes.
Agreed. I agree. Well, he'll tell you what, you know, there's a million things, right? Like, doesn't really have to prove anything to anyone. Last week, he said in the second round, you know, he had a bad light. He was terrible, but he got lucky and he won the round. And he no desire to try to cover it up or cover his tail or, you know, well, there was a, now he just tells you that what happened, good or bad. And, I think we're seeing it. Like, they are emerging as a potential race winner. Are they a championship winner just yet? Not yet, but they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. All right. We're visiting with Joe Costello. You can hear his work on WFOradio.com. Listen, it's not all about drag racing, man. They cover just about anything in motorsports, and they do a great job over there. Again, that's WFOradio.com. Joe, what do you think about Heartland Park Topeka? How would you consider that racetrack compared to other racetracks that the competition goes to year-round?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for the plugs for the show. You don't have to do it the way you're doing it. You're doing it great. We love bringing on listeners of all sports. And, you know, we talk stick and ball. We talk, you know, mostly motorsports, just like your name, right? But we'll go in a lot of different directions. And just thank you for doing that. You know, the thing about coming to the center of the country, I don't know if your listeners know, but I live in southeastern Florida. I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. I live near Fort Lauderdale. For me, it's just so different to be out here in these wide open plains and, like, as far as I can see, there's something and big open skies. It's really beautiful, and it's a departure from what I'm used to. But it's also the people. These fans, they're super diehard. There's kind of an edge. Like, everybody I see at the track, they're very welcoming and friendly and cool and beautiful race cars. I'm looking at national records, right? Like 2017, this track, a lot of top speeds and personal bests for people. It won't be like that this weekend because we're in the dog days of summer. So it's going to be kind of a different style race. Very exciting, but just different. But most importantly, I'm just appreciative that this place exists now. We're in a world where, like, my home track in West Palm Beach, Florida, just got bought for like $90 million. They're going to put a warehouse facility on it. And I lost my track, and it's a heartbreaking feeling. And there are so many people that, I'll go to the track next year. I'll go out. Oh, you know, it'll be there. It might not. And you guys almost lost this track a few years ago. And the local community and the people that pulled together to work hard to save it and refurbish it and bring it back, to me, that's the story. Like, this is an amazing facility. It would cost, like, what do you think it would cost to build this place from scratch right now? Like, $100 million? I don't know.
At least.
At least, right? The fact that it's here, it's right in the middle. We got racers from California. We got racers from Florida. We got racers from Texas. We got racers from Minnesota, all competing in one place right in the middle. It's amazing. You pull up, you see the giant entryway, the screen. They're showing drag cars going down the track. It's like no other. I just hope that people in the community, if you're a two-hour drive, if you're a three-hour drive, come to the races, because that's what ensures a place like this stays in business and doesn't become a warehouse facility.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey,
I'm not saying it's going to become a warehouse facility. That's what happened to my track, and that is my fear for all tracks.
Yeah, you know, we've been hearing the rumblings about Heartland Park Topeka for several years now. We just hope that we keep that track around. The show's mostly motorsports, so I'm going to step off track here just a little bit. You're a Miami Dolphins fan. How giddy were you when you got Tyreek Hill?
Pretty giddy, I got to say. Pretty giddy. If you follow the Dolphins in sports at all, you may recall that we were in the depths of a real negative story with the whole most fans that I know didn't think that Brian Flores deserved to be fired. And most of the fans that I knew felt like the guy was making progress. And there were a couple of areas that needed work, and we were inching along, and it wasn't terrible. And then obviously we know what happened. And that story, like, I don't even want to go there because I don't even know. Like, oh, my gosh, so much he said, she said going on with that. But imagine you're a Dolphin fan and you felt like we've had some progress, and now all of a sudden controversy and what's going to happen. And then you make all these moves and we've got something to watch at least this year, right? You know, we've got something to watch. We got Tyreek. We've got our new head coach is like offensive genius. Supposedly, Tua, a lot of people are against him, but at very least the guy can put the ball on a spot. He's a very accurate passer. And with Waddle and Tyreek, football is entertainment. We're going to be entertained. We might not win every game, but you'd think we're going to be in every game. And that is the reason, by the way, they're sold out and their skyboxes are all sold out. And the season is pretty much sold out with the addition. Like, we've got something to watch. And so for Dolphin fans, I think we're pretty excited.
You got a lot of new additions, and it's going to be exciting to watch you guys. Do you think that Tyreek Hill is going to have the numbers that he did last year with Patrick Mahomes this year?
Well, I don't think, and that's the question. Like, you guys, I'm under the impression that you guys have improved, right? Like, it's a better fit for your offense to give him up. You would know better than me. I would say no. We're not a NFL elite offense just yet. We put together some pieces, and to make the analogy to a race car, like, we bought all the stuff, but we still got to tune it. And you guys have got one of the most prolific offenses the NFL has ever seen, and one of the most athletic quarterbacks that the NFL has ever seen. And we're not there yet. So I would answer your question, no, I wouldn't expect him to have a season like he's had for you guys over the past couple of years. But, of course, he'll make some big plays, and I'm sure you saw that over-the-top highlight from practice that's got every Dolphin fan, like, very excited.
Yeah, all right. So final question on Miami Dolphins. What do you think your record's going to be this year?
I think we're – okay, so the Buffalo Bills, man, they're like –
right.
Really good team, as you guys know. Like, that was one of the greatest games ever last year, and it inspired a rules change and playoff overtime, et cetera. So we're going to have a winning record. I will tell you that. Like, that will be my bold prediction. We're going to have a winning record, and, I think we're going to make the playoffs.
Okay, good, good. Well,
it would be a big deal. That's a big deal for the Dolphins. Like, give us something to watch. We'll have a playoff game. We might even win a playoff game.
Well, I think you're right. I think the Chiefs are going to be better than they were, because I think everybody figured out the Chiefs the last year or so, and I think everybody knew how to tamp down Tyreek and Kelce and how to cause them to implode, and I think they're going to be a lot better with the new receivers they've got this year. So I think we're going to be looking up. Joe, give us your final thoughts on what you think we're going to see this weekend at Heartland Park Topeka, and give me some of the favors you think going in.
Okay, I think that everyone that listens to Mostly Motorsports and the Racing Boys, who do such a great job promoting this event, should, on a whim, come out tomorrow or Sunday and understand what we got going here. The NHRA is a season-long championship battle with a playoff-style system at the end. There are two races. There are really three races remaining before the playoffs, but these next two, Kansas and Brainerd, Minnesota, lead into the U.S. Nationals, the biggest race that exists on planet Earth for drag racing, and really the biggest participant race there is, 900 competitors. So everybody has got to be at their best starting now. Okay, and in pro stock, you're witnessing a historic season by Erica Enders, world champion four times over, one of the greatest lady race car drivers in the history of NHRA. She's been like 7 of 9 final rounds. She's got 6 race wins. She's been amazing. The races that she's lost, she lost the most recent race by 0.1 of a second to her teammate. She's having a career year. To just see Erica in this season is going to be something people talk about. In funny car, you got Ron Capps as an owner, but Robert Hyde has been running over everybody. Matt Hagen and Tony Stewart Racing is a thing this year, and they're in a slump right now. They have not been out of the second round since Bristol. So they're going to get it going. But when?
Yeah.
John Force. Every time you get to see John Force on the racetrack, in my opinion, you're witnessing history. The guy's 73 years old. He's a superhuman being, in the words of Bob Tasca, one of his rivals and competitors, that he at 73 is able to go out there and not only compete at the highest level against people that are a third of his age, but beat them on a pretty regular basis. So just to witness John Force, Ron Capp, Robert Hyde, all the stars of Funny Car, and then Top Fuel. David Grubnick, who has won here twice out at Heartland Motorsports Park as a driver, is Brittany Force's crew chief. They won last year. The guy is having his breakout year. Multiple wins, track records everywhere. They lost the final round to Tony Schumacher out in Seattle. But this is the year of Brittany, and, you know, the Capco team has won 4 championships in a row. They won out here in 2019. We didn't race in 2020. And it, right now, everyone is wondering, is this the year, like the football analogy, is this the year the Patriots don't win? Like, who's going to knock the Patriots off? Is this the year that Brittany Force knocks Steve Torrence off the top for the championship? And all of those storylines are playing out around these amazing classic muscle cars and sportsman cars that I'm surrounded by right now. So it's going to be a good time. I suggest everyone come out. Also, Pro Stock Motorcycle out here for the first time since 1997. Angel Sampei, one of the greatest of all time, the most winningest lady racer in NHRA history, is the defending race winner, 1997 to 2022, which is kind of an interesting and crazy stat if you think about it. The last time we were here, she won. She was like a young girl racing then, and now much more experienced, mother of two, coming back as the defending or most recent race winner, you know, 2 decades later, quarter century later. That's crazy. So we're going to have fun. It's going to be a good time. I don't know what else is going on in town this weekend, but to me, this is where you want to be. Obviously, I'm here, so that's why I think it.
Everybody else should be. And every ticket is a pit pass as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, there's different policies at each track for children under 12 and such. I would recommend you go to the track's website, Heartland Motorsports Park, NHRA.com, and check it out. But, yes, like part of drag racing, the experience of drag racing is being in it. You're on the sideline with the players. Players are all around you. You're walking around. One of them is about to go in the game, and you go talk to them and be like, hey, you're about to go in the game. Yeah, man, it's going to be their defense. They're running. It's crazy. That's what drag racing is. It's not something you go and watch, and you're sitting in your seat, and you're watching other people do something. You are an active participant. It's happening all around you, and that's what makes us different than, say, NASCAR, which I love, or Formula One. You know, we just had a Formula One race in Miami. I went there. It was great. I had a good time. But drag racing, to me, is an extra sensory experience because you're right in the middle of it. It's happening all around you. And who knows what will happen? You make friends with a driver. That's how I got hooked on this thing, Scott. I got invited to the winner's circle as a little kid, right? I showed up. The driver thought I was good luck. Next thing you know, he wins the race. He pulls me into his winner's circle picture in 1986. And years later, look at me. I'm out here making a living in the world of motorsports. It's crazy.
You know, I tell people if you go to one NHRA event, you'll be hooked for life. The concussion that you get from the pro cars that when they go down the racetrack is unbelievable. We're speaking with Joe Costello. Again, you can listen to his podcast on WFOradio.com. You can follow him on Twitter at WFO Joe. Joe, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. We hope that we'll talk to you down the road. Does Kansas City play the Dolphins this year?
You know, I don't know. You're in front of the internet. I'm in a pit area with dragsters all around me. Check it out.
Right.
I would be up for a little extra hype machine when that happens.
All right. Well, we'll get back with you if that is the case, Joe. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us here.
If Tyreek were to beat you guys in his first time back, like, that would be pretty bad for you.
That's not going to happen.
I'm just saying, like, if it did happen, like, that would be something that you guys would probably be bothered. That's all. To be continued.
To be continued. Joe, thanks so much for joining us today, bud. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott. Take care. See you guys at the races.
All right, there you have it, Joe Costello. Again, you can follow him on WFOradio.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Kirk Elliott, Austin O'Neill back at Racing Boys HQ in the studio. Man, it's always good to have old Joe Costello on, man. He is such a treat, man. Such a wealth of knowledge when it comes to NHRA.
He is a great aficionado of drag racing and other motorsports as well. I wanted to mention about those around the Kansas City area that are thinking about heading over to Topeka. I'm going to be over there tonight. The pros get out on the track at 6:30 tonight. There's just one session of qualifying today, and that's 6:30 tonight. Tomorrow, 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock. And final eliminations, this is a big one, Scott, because we're so used to starting at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. It's at 10:30 on Sunday morning, so make sure you get there early.
Why are they bumping it up early, Kirk?
I'm not sure.
Why are they doing that too early?
It might have to do with the TV broadcast, which starts at 2 o'clock and ends at 5. Maybe because the TV is scheduled to end at 5, they want to make sure they start early enough to get the whole production in. I don't know, but that's the first time I can ever remember of all the years I've been going over there that final elimination start at 10:30. So make sure you get there early or you'll miss the first cars out on the track on Sunday.
10:30 on Sunday.
And the weather looks great, Scott. I'm looking at the forecast here. There's no threat of weather at all this weekend, so it looks great for the weekend and not really all that hot either. So I think it's going to be a great weekend out there.
Let's start off here. Let's get back into sprint car racing. We're at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Don't forget about the great track tribute that's going on through October 1st for Ascot Park. It's going on right now downstairs. They got all kinds of memorabilia. It's a great exhibit. Please come up and check it out if you're up here in Knoxville, Iowa. If you're coming up for the races this weekend, make sure you come over to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, buy a raffle ticket for the sprint car, buy one for the Corvette. A lot of great things going on up here right now at the National.
Hey, I got a question for you. When are they drawing for the Corvette tomorrow night? When are they drawing for the Corvette? What time is that tomorrow night?
Kirk, could you let me finish talking before you walk on me? You always do that to me. You always talk when I'm talking.
Answer my question.
What's that?
What time are they drawn for the Corvette tomorrow night?
I don't know that, Kirk.
It's usually during intermission. Right before the A-Main.
Yeah.
Right before the A-Main?
It should be right before. If I remember right, last year, it was right before driver intros.
Okay, Austin. So here, let's take a look at it. The drivers that are locked into Saturday night's A-Main, starting up towards the front right now, Austin McCarl, Tyler Courtney, Donnie Schatz, David Gravel, Carson Macedo, Kyle Larson, Brent Marks. Let's go through the top 10. Darren Pittman, Brad Sweet, J.J. How about J.J. Hickel getting in 10th? How about that? That's pretty good, isn't it?
I was pretty pumped for J.J. They had that, that restart in his heat race, and it just, everything parted, the ways that they were supposed to, and it just was.
It worked out right.
It did, and it was just one of those heat races that everybody wants as a driver, but they never get. And, everybody just moved, all kind of down the bottom, and J.J. momentumed it right through the middle. And what's nice about Knoxville, when it's kind of, early on like that, the middles might be a little slick, but there's still enough moisture, and you can drive right through it with no wheel spin. So he did just that and was gone by the time everybody got up to speed in the backstretch and had a pretty much an easy heat race, while I think Brad Sweet was in second and third there for a while and just had a big enough lead that he just could coast right into a locked in spot for the feature and put himself in a good spot for Saturday.
Out of those top 10, Austin, who are you picking early right now? Who is your favorite going into tomorrow?
Just the top 10?
Well,
or top 16.
You can do the top 16 if you'd like. We can go down through there. Jacob Allen, Parker Price Miller, Justin Sanders, Buddy Kofoit, Tasker Phillips, and Aaron Reitzel is your 16th place car. Who are you picking out of all those guys?
With it being...
Hold on a second. Just so you, to be clear, you have the option of changing your mind tomorrow.
That's fine. But, you look at how cars have been, tomorrow night's 50 laps, halfway break of 25. So it's pretty much two features you got to run here. And you look at how guys' cars get in the last, 10 laps of a 25-lap feature. You look at who's getting good in that. I think you could say Donnie's one of those cars, Macedo, Larson. Those are the top three off top of my head right there. And I think, I'm going to go with who I picked to win on Wednesday, and that's Donnie to get his 11th just because of how good his car is, as a long run car and how how good the car gets as the feature kind of goes on and runs down in the end. So, I think, if the track's the way it's, been the past couple of nights and it's still kind of heavy and that Ford can make all the power it can make. And yeah, I think he's probably my pick.
All right. Yeah, I'm with you. There's nobody that works the center late in a race better than Donnie Schatz. Nobody can get through the slick better than Donnie Schatz. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think that's, you know, that's always been a strong suit for Donnie, you know, here recently with the Ford and trying to get it tuned to the track. That's been a little tough, but, you know, Knoxville always has plenty of moisture in it, and, you know, big half mile racing, a little bit of moisture, it's just a, you know, who can make the most power, so, and have the best car to, handle that, too, and I think that's probably Donnie right now.
Marie, one of our great loyal listeners, she says that she thinks gravel's going to win, but she said never count out Donnie, and I'm like you. I to me personally, if I look at this list, I got to go with Donnie Schatz, David Gravel, Carson Macedo, Kyle Larson. Out of those four guys, I just want to watch how things transpire a little bit more tonight before I make up my mind. But out of the four guys that I'm thinking about picking, those are the guys that I'm picking. And I think I'm like you. Those are all solid picks, right?
I have to agree with you on that. There's one guy that, you know, we haven't talked about yet that is one of the drivers that we're just kind of surprised to see locked in the show, and that's Justin Sanders and you know, Kevin Swindell's car. I enjoy watching, you know, the Swindell Street Lab videos they post on their social media pages on how their nights go and what it's like to be a part of their team. And after watching, you know, the 360 Nationals, Cappy, and the Front Row Challenge, it just shows how tough a driver from California who doesn't see a lot of half-mile racing, how tough it is for them to adjust to the Midwest half-miles. And
I think he's too deep in the field.
No, he's deep. But I just, you know, to see him walk in, that was pretty cool. You know, like I said, I didn't think, you know, he would be able to you know, walk in at all. That was, you know, I never thought that could happen. And after his qualifying night, I, you know, that changes your mind. But, no, it's cool to see his progression and him getting better, you know, since he came for the 360 Nationals and how he's had to adjust as a driver to you know, adapting to half mile racing and how tough it really is.
Yeah, Walker Berry says Schatz, Larson, Carson, Macedo in that order for the podium tomorrow night. That's pretty solid right there. Yeah, I'd have to say. Caleb says Sheldon tonight, Larson tomorrow. David says the 15 car looks great. Is Marie just brought up a point? Are you a little disappointed? We saw a lot of speed out of the 24 car of Rico Abreu. Have you been a little maybe underwhelmed by Rico's performance so far?
I think a little bit, but mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking to where he qualified. I don't think he qualified that well. I know he started fifth, finished fifth in the seat race, so that would have put him, you know, on the backside of the invert. So, yeah, I mean, it's a little disappointing because, you know, he had a good run coming into the Nationals, but, you know, I think if he goes out early, you know, we're not talking, he qualified 20th. So if he goes out, you know, a little earlier, I think the story's a little different, but yeah, I think as a fan, that's, it could be a little disappointing.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Austin, you got anything you want to add before we get out of here?
No.
Nope.
Kirk, who you picking?
I'm with you guys. I think this is going to go down between Schatz and Kyle Larson tomorrow night. And if you remember last year, Larson barely held off Schatz. I think it's probably just going to be a reverse of that this time around. I like Donnie Schatz to win his 11th Knoxville Nationals. Hey, I wanted to ask both you guys, Brian Brown, what in the heck was going on in his qualifying lap last night?
You know, I didn't watch qualifying last night.
He
kept it too low, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a victim to the slop on the bottom. They let, you know, car with and a half wide, you know, strip of slop on the bottom. He just, you had to be on the edge of it to be fast, and, you know, he got a little too comfortable with it and got the left front in it too much, and it just killed his lap time. It forced him to slide it through the center of the track or the center of the groove, and it just buried the car in the left rear and lost all of his speed.
Qualified 39th last night.
That was
That's bad.
And he even admitted it. He won his heat race and did an interview with Chase Rodman and admitted he just made a huge mistake, and he's owning it right now.
So yeah. Who are your predictions of the four drivers that'll make it out of tonight? The top four finishers of tonight's feature event, Advance On, who are those four drivers in your guys' minds?
Me personally, I'm going to take Gio Selzy, Logan Schuchart.
No. Wait a second. Those guys are already locked in for tomorrow night. I'm talking about the guys that have to run tonight.
Oh, I was talking about the B main guys.
Yeah.
I don't have that list of who's running tonight, to be honest with
it's
you.
It's on the, if you go down to the bottom of the story on raceboys.com.
Oh, okay, here we go. Eligible drivers to compete in Friday's FVP Hard Knocks night. I would say tonight, out of those guys, I'm going to say Anthony Macri, Hunter Schoenberg, Sheldon Hodgfield. They're kind of deep in the field there. They're going to have to work their way up through there pretty quick. And then I'm going to say also Ayrton Jennington.
Hey, don't they use the times from the Wednesday and Thursday nights to set up tonight's races, Austin?
Hold on. I want to back up. I got to scratch one of those guys off the list. Corey Day is going to make it in.
Yeah. The top four of the tonight's finishers. But, Austin, do you know that they use the time? They don't time trial these guys in again tonight. They use the existing times from Wednesday or Thursday to line these races up. So necessarily where you're at in the point standings doesn't mean that's where the chances are of you moving on, is it?
I'm not sure how the format works. I was always under the impression it was a complete another night, but
they don't time them in again. Time trials are over.
Yeah, so that's going to kind of shake some things up. So it's just going to force you to have a good heat race, and you know it's a good thing that you know these points aren't really you know worth anything. So
right.
It just gives you a pretty much clean slate, and you just got to be up on the wheel in the heat race.
All right, so I'm going to say Corey Day, Ayrton Jennington, Anthony Macri, Hunter Schoenberg. What about you, Austin?
I'm going to go with Brown, Sheldon. I'll say Corey Eliason, and then I'll go with Ayrton.
Okay.
That's my four.
Brown, Hodgfield, Macri, and Rico are my four guys.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Another edition of Mostly Motorsports in the books. We're going to do tomorrow morning. We are going to have John Force on tomorrow morning on Track Talk. So if you guys want to listen into the show tomorrow morning, it starts at 8 o'clock on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've been doing that show now for 24 years over there on Sports Radio 810. And it's going to be fun to talk to John Force about what's going on up at Heartland Park Topeka tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk to him. He is one of the great all-time interviews. So don't miss it tomorrow morning. What time are we having John on tomorrow, Kurt?
8:40 tomorrow morning.
8:40 tomorrow.
Yeah.
So don't miss it. Track Talk tomorrow morning. John Force is going to join us, one of the greatest drag racer of all time. John Force joins us again tomorrow. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor, again live from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. If you're coming up this weekend, folks, don't forget to check out the great track tribute that's going on to Ascot Park right now here at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's going to go on through October 1st. They've got all kinds of stuff to look at from Ascot Park, cars, memorabilia. It's a great exhibit. So get up here and check it out right now if you can. Come on up Saturday night. Come up here Saturday night. Watch the Nationals. And then go to Heartland Park Topeka on Sunday and watch the NHRA cars out there. It's going to be a good weekend of racing right around here in the Midwest. For Kirk Elliott, for Austin O'Neill, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. Mostly Motorsports has been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Track Talk at 8 a.m. Central Time.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.